We are in the second chapter. Morning we finish the first chapter of the Tattva Sutras. So all the notes are over. You drop some notes. Get these notes. So we are in the second chapter. First chapter is known as Sutras, and the second chapter is Chit Padartha Prakaranam. Chit Padartha. Chit Padartha means, Chit means conscious. So what is the conscious thing in this world? The living entity, Jiva, the soul. The soul is consciousness. The soul is having consciousness. So Chit Padartha Prakaranam, explanation of what is the soul. If you remember in the first chapter of Tattva Sutras, the last point was, why does the Lord create this world if He is Purna, if He is satisfied, if He is completely self-satisfied, aptakamatvat? What is the reason why he should do this creation, this world? What is the use of it? Why He does it? Then the most famous explanation by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Karunyam tatkriya hetu atmakamatvat. Karunyam tatkriya. He says, Karunyam. Krishna, Lord, out of compassion, He creates this world. It's a great compassion. You see, if the government creates a jail, we say the jail is created for the punishment of the criminals. It is not for the punishment of the criminals. It is for the benefit of the criminals. We think it is it is punishment. Like a child, the father is sending the child to the school. And the child is thinking, oh, what this? What a punishment it is. I used to think always, why my father wants me to study? Such a horrible place. School every day, enter the classroom, sit there. But we came to know later, anyhow, that is really a jail. But it's good. So, out of love and compassion, our father sent us to the school. But the child never thought that this is the compassion of the father. Now somebody may say, why God created this world, so much of suffering? Tsunami comes, flood comes, so much. But actually, this is compassion. Karunyam tatkriya. Because this is a place where we can try to enjoy. We all wanted to enjoy. So this is where we can try to enjoy. Krishna creates an opportunity so that we can try. Nobody can enjoy in this world. They can only try. Okay, try there, fail. Okay, try here, fail. Try here, fail. So then this world is meant to make us understand that this is not the fit place for me to stay. So that is Karunya. It's a nice, wonderful school for all the living entities. Both theory and practice. Theory is what you learn in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. And the practice is in the material world. When you get kicked by Maya, that is practice, practicals. So, Takarunyam Tatya. Then the Lord creates this world because of compassion. Now, somebody may ask this question, for whom does the Lord create this world? What is the nature of the soul? Because the Lord creates the world for the soul. And what is the nature of the soul is explained in the second chapter of the Tattva Sutras. It is known as Chit Padartha Prakaranam, the Spirit, Chapter 2. Here someone may ask, to whom does the Supreme Personality of Godhead give mercy when He creates the material universes? Whom does He give it to? Now, just now we heard, out of mercy, Krishna creates this world. Whom does He give the mercy? And why does He give His mercy to these persons? Why? What is the reason for it? Why He gives the mercy to the conditioned souls? To answer this question by showing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates the material universes and performs many other activities in order to give mercy to the individual spirit souls. And also by showing, using all Vedanta scriptures as evidence, the true nature of the individual spirit soul, the author of these Shastras, now begin this chapter. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur begins this chapter saying, why the Lord gives, to whom this mercy is given, why he gives, and ultimately the true nature of the living entity, of the soul. Which gives elaborate definition of the word chit. Chit. The English word for chit is consciousness. Chetana. Chit. From the word chit, chetana comes. Chetana paranugatastadvidhivasyatvat. Chetana paranugatas paranugatastadvidhi vasyatvat. The many conscious beings are followers of the Supreme, for they must obey His commands. Now, who is this consciousness? Who is this soul? Chetana paranugatas paranugata para anugata. Chetana means the souls. We are supposed to follow in the footsteps of Krishna, in the sense that we are to follow what He says. We are paranugata. Paranugata means para is the Supreme Lord. Anugata means we are supposed to be subservient. Now, tadviddhi vashyetvat. Now, in order to bring them under control. Now, what has happened? We are all supposed to be under control of Krishna. Supposed to be obedient servants of Krishna. And we have forgotten. So, since we have forgotten, Krishna wants us to remember this. He wants to bring us back under control. That is why He says, tadviddhi vashyetvat. Now, here the word chetana means conscious spirit soul. The plural is used here to indicate that the souls are many number. Here the word is used chetana paranugatastadviddhi vashyatvat. Chetana, chetana refers to conscious spirit souls. So many, chit and chetana. Chetana means many, many plural. And why the plural is used? To show that the souls are many in number, unlimited either. The word paranugataha means the souls are subordinate to Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are under His control. This is so because they must obey His command. In the Shruti Shastras it is said, Ya atmane tishtam atmanam antaryamyati. Ya atmani tishtam atmanam antaryatmani. Now what is the Supreme Lord doing? He is in everybody's heart. Now residing in the heart, the Supreme Personality of God controls the living entity. So He is entering into every living entity's heart and is controlling the living entity. In the Bhagavad Gita we know very famous, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesh arjuna tishtati. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesh arjuna tishtati. I am in everybody's heart, my dear Arjuna. And I am sitting there in everybody's heart and controlling them. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesh arjuna tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. O Arjuna, and is directing the wandering living entity. So here Krishna as Paramatma is in everybody's heart. In the Upanishads it is said, Shvetaketu tattvamasi. O Shvetaketu, you are that. You remember yesterday we talked about tattvamasi at length. What is the meaning of tattvamasi? I am that. Or thou art that. But the actual meaning of tattvamasi is what? I am Krishna's. I am His. I am Krishna's. The apostrophe is there. Apostrophe means I belong to Krishna. Do you remember what was the samasa? Which samasa was there? Which conjunction was there? Shashti Tat Purusha Samasa was used by Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya says, Tattvamasi should be understood by Shashti Tat Purusha Samasa, which is a possessive compound. It is known as a possessive compound. Like I said, this is mine. I am yours. Tattvamasi means I am yours. You are His. His means how to do it. H-I-S, apostrophe S. His. Something like that. That is the meaning of it. So the Shashti Tatpurusha Samasa has to be applied here. Now, generally those Mayavadis, what they say? They say, you are that. You are supreme. And then they say, so am. Yesterday we discussed about this, so am, so much. Like in a fruit, Udumbara. How many of you see Udumbara tree? Udumbara. Marathis must be seen. Marathi people know Udumbara. Udumbara tree is found in Maharashtra more. Dattatreya's tree. So the Udumbara fruit is a small fruit. Inside there are so many insects are there. This material world is like this Udumbara fruit, and inside are just rotting and then saying, Soham, Soham, Soham. I am Lord, I am Lord. What is I am Lord? So, here, Tattvamasi was explained. Yesterday we discussed. Now, question arises. Reply, someone may protest. It is often so said in the Sruti Shastras, declare, I am Atma Brahma. It is said, I am Atma Brahma. I am the Supreme. The scriptures talk about it. How do you understand this? Is it not so then? The living entity and the spirits, living individual, spirit, soul are not anyway different from the Supreme Lord? Why then do we claim that the individual soul are subordinate and dependent on the Supreme Lord? Because in this sutra, Chetana Paranugatastad Viddevasyatvat. Now the Supreme Lord shows compassion to the souls who are bound in this world for that play, who revolted against him. So he made this world and they are supposed to be under his control and they are not now. So he wants to bring them under control. So that is the reason he creates this world. But the question arises here. There are many scriptures which says, I am Atma Brahma. I am my Atma, the soul, is Brahma, he is the Supreme Lord. He's explained in scriptures like this. How can you say the soul is subservient to the Lord? Then the second. Te chanyad anantaha parashakti visheshatvat. Te cha anadi. Techa ananadi. So now, ananadi. So they have neither beginning nor end, for they are specific potency of the Supreme Lord. Now it is true. It is explained in the scriptures. I am Atma Brahma. It is explained in scriptures like this because the soul is anadi. The soul is eternal, it has no beginning. Ananta, and it doesn't have any end. For they are specific potencies of Supreme Lord. Why? Parashakti visheshatvat. A soul is a potency of Krishna. Can anyone tell me the soul is a potency? Which potency of Krishna? Are the expansions of which potency? Yes. Bliss potency of Krishna. We are all expansions of Haladini Shakti. Haladini Shakti, bliss potency of Krishna. Yes, yes. Very, very important to know. We are all, because Krishna, for his pleasure, he has manifested us. And we are meant to only engage in activities which are meant for the pleasure of Krishna. That's all. So, we are all living entities coming from the Haladini Shakti. Antaranga Shakti is there, but Haladini Shakti. Within the Antaranga, we have Haladini. Expansions of the Haladini Shakti of the Lord. So, that is what is explained. Para Shakti Visheshatvat Te Chanyad Antaha. No beginning, no end. So, it is true, we don't have any beginning, no end. And we are all what? Krishna's energy. The individual spirit soul have neither beginning nor end. For they are specific potency of the Supreme Lord. And the potency of the Lord has neither beginning nor ending. In the Shruti Shastras it is said, Yathagner bhavato vispulingaha. Shruti, it is explained, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is like a great fire. Yatha Agnir, he is like a big fire. Agni means fire. A big fire. And now, Bhavato Vispulinga, from the fire, so many sparks come out. Isn't it? So the living entities are compared to the sparks coming from this fire. Yatha Agnir, Bhavato Vispulinga, and individual souls are like the sparks of the fire. In the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna says, mama eva amshaha jivaloke jivabhuta sanatanaha. Krishna, in this word, eva is used, mama eva. They are all my anshas. Every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. A very important point for all of us to understand. Though it seems to me, we are part and parcel of Krishna. What is the meaning of part and parcel? Here, amsha doesn't mean part. Prabhupada used the word part and parcel. And till date, in the history of the English language, nobody has used this word part and parcel. This phrase has never been used. You go to any scholar, any book, you scan the entire English dictionary. A few days back, I was telling how Prabhupada made English and brought the English language to the level of Sanskrit. Prabhupada's English is as good as Sanskrit. If somebody says, Prabhupada wrote in English, English is an incomplete language, Prabhupada himself told. Prabhupada told English is an incomplete language. That is true. But his English in the Bhagavad Gita is not incomplete language. His English is as good as Sanskrit in the terms of expressing the absolute truth. To tell you one small secret, I'm trying to find a proper verse, but I just read one translation somewhere. I'm not able to find the original text. In the Bhavishya Purana, there is a Bhavishya means a future. It is predicted by Vyasa in the Bhavishya Purana, that in future, the absolute truth will be described in a language whose name will be made up of three dhatus. Aim, Klaim, Shim. Aim, Klaim, Shim. Put them together. What it is? English. English is made up of these three dhatus, or these three bijaksharas in the Vedas. Aim, Klaim, Shim. When you put these three together, what do you get? What do you get? English. Vyasa's prediction. And then he talks elaborately about this English language. They say, in this incomplete language used by the Malechas, they called Paniyam as Vatru, and they call Savitra as sister. In this way, he mentions. And then says, anybody who speaks this language, if you see him, you should take bath. So, what to do? Everyone speaks this language, then all of you should take bath and speaking that language. Yes. I am trying to find out the proper text, because if you have a Sanskrit original text, then it is easy to convey to people. But this is truth. I am Klaim and Shim. So absolute truth will be described in the age of Kali in this. So Vyasa predicts Prabhupada books, Prabhupada. Isn't it? So let us examine this word part and parcel. Part and parcel is a very unique term, unique thing which is being used here. See, if you say part, then it means, okay, part of Krishna. If you say parcel, it is independent of Krishna. So now the jivas have been declared in the verses as vibhinna amsha. Vibhinna means what? Parcel. Amsha means part. So Prabhupada says vibhinna, translates vibhinna as parcel. Parcel is a separate unit, isn't it? You got a parcel, Prabhupada, means it is something separate. And you got a part means what? So when you say part, it means it is not independent. When you say parcel, it means independent. So both independence is there and dependence is there. Parcel refers to independence and part refers to different dependence. So the jivas are both independent and dependent. Their dependency is there. Their independency is also there. They can choose between Maya and Krishna. To only that extent independence is there. You want Krishna or Maya? Choose. That much independence is there. But ultimately, their original nature is to be dependent on Krishna. So, part and parcel is a perfect translation of this word, Vibhinnamsha. So, Mamaiva Amsho, this Amsha has to be considered to be like this. Mamaiva Amsho, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. So they are here. Someone may say, now after hearing all these things, they say, oh, since the individual souls are specific potency of the Lord, they are in all respect one with Him. Because it is said, there is no distinction between the potency and the possessority of Krishna is Advaita. Just so we discussed in the last chapter, somebody may say this thing. Now, concerned about this, the sutrakara, the next sutra, the author emphasizes the difference between the individual soul and living entity. Now, what is the difference? Let us see. Chidananda swarupa api ap chidananda swarupa api parato bhinna nitya satyatva bhavat. Chidananda swarupopi, swarupapi, Chidananda swarupa, Chidananda swarupa, Chit Ananda swarupa. Chit means consciousness, Ananda means bliss. So though the living entity is embodiment of bliss and consciousness, api, what happens? Parataha bhinna nitya satyatva bhavat. Though they are independent, conscious, blissful living entities, they are bhinna, different from the Supreme. For it is not inevitable that they are always situated in the spiritual reality. What is the reason? How? What is the thing which discriminates between the Supreme Lord and the living entity? The visible discrimination is what? How can you say we are not the Supreme Lord? There are so many reasons, but one important reason is we find that they are not always with Him. They are forgotten and come to this world. The very fact that we are conditioned, that is a proof that we are not the Supreme Lord. That is explained here. He says, Bhinna Nitya Satya Satyatvabhavat. Abhavat means because of the non-existence. Abhava means non-existence. Non-existence of nitya. Nitya means always existing with Him. That eternity aspect, though we are conscious and blissful by nature, because of not being with Him always, we have forgotten the eternity aspect. We are facing death every time. So it is explained, although they are spiritual and blissful, the individual souls are different from the Supreme Lord. Here is the reason why. It is not inevitable that they are always situated in spiritual reality. That is a problem. Now when we are discussing about the Veda Veda Tattva, Dvaita Dvaita of Nimbarka Acharya, if you remember, Nimbarakacharya's Dved, that is where Baladev Vidyavashan Prabhu says that you have to have Achintya. Achintya Bheda Bheda. What are the defect with Dvaita Advaita? The defect with Dvaita Advaita means if the Lord and the living entity are both same, at the same time different, the sameness means a sharing of qualities. Now there is a quality that the living entity has got a tendency to fall into Maya. Then the same quality is shared to the Supreme Lord? No. So for that reason, though Bheda Abheda is there, but still Achintya should be added. Without Achintya being added, Bheda Abheda or Dvaita Advaita cannot answer this problem. If the Bheda means different, accepted, if Abheda is accepted. When we say, whatever qualities, there is qualitative oneness. We say no qualitative oneness. Now if the qualitative oneness is accepted, I have a quality to fall down into Maya. Is it there in the Krishna? It is not there. So for that reason, Achintya was used. And of course, Achintya has many, many aspects to it. The primary reason why Achintya is used for this thing. Achintya bheda bheda. Abhavatvat. So, the Supreme Lord, the natural position of the living individual soul is to be situated in spiritual reality. However, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself who places them in that spiritual reality. The Supreme Lord is always situated in this reality. However, for the individual soul, it is possible to be placed apart from the spiritual reality. Apart from the spiritual reality. Ramanuja explains that three things, creation, maintenance and destruction, the knowledge of these three things Krishna would never give to living entity. These three things living entity would never get. Creation, maintenance and destruction. If he knows creation, maintenance and destruction, just imagine, he'll become God. Already people are thinking, I'm God. If he also gets this knowledge, then gone. Now, they get great yogis, but they can only create some things. They cannot maintain. So maintenance requires Vishnu. You think the table is stable? How is this table as stable? Because Vishnu enters, the law God enters every place as Brahman. He enters into Andhantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. That is why the atoms are giving their shape. Water is tasty. Why? Because Krishna is there in water. The microphone is doing its function, not because some stupid electricity is going and then, not because of that.
So it's just maintenance and destruction.
Everything you see, matter is matter as it is because Krishna is entering every place in the form of Brahman. Like we are able to live, isn't it? I mean, you are living, you are able to speak, talk. Why? Because we say Krishna is there as Paramatma. Because Paramatma is in the heart, that is why we are able to do all our functions in the body. Okay. Now, this matter is also doing some function. Why? Because Krishna has entered into every atom as Brahman. As much as Paramatma is a soul for the soul, Brahman is a soul for matter. Brahman is a soul for matter. And all the physics fails. They say atomic attraction, that this happened, this happened, combine this happened. It is all happening because of Krishna. It's all happening because of Krishna. They're not able to explain anything properly. Why this is happening? Why this is happening? Because it is, even though it is jada. It is jada means it is unconscious. The unconscious substance matter also exhibits its qualities because of Krishna entering in the form of his energy. We think matter is, don't take matter lightly. Matter is Krishna's energy. And just see the wonderful transformations of matter and wonderful transformations of energy. Take a solution, take something. Just imagine a sweet sugar. Always talking about sweets. This time also about sweet. How do you get the sweetness in that? How do you get it? It is because Brahman. So matter is also amazing. No doubt the scientists are amazed in it and then spend thousands, their whole life in trying to find out what's there in matter. Though we say matter doesn't matter, but matter is Krishna's energy. And Krishna enters into that. I don't know, many of you study physics and chemistry and all, you have molecular structure and all these things. And you see, I don't know how many of you have seen those videos of how the molecular structure is there, different kind of lattices are made. If you see that UGC programs, University Grand Graduate programs, I was amazed. This is how Krishna has designed this world. So even if a scientist is attracted by seeing this matter, how it's arranged, actually it is Krishna's wonderful arrangement. Table is just like a table. Why all the atoms and molecules in the table are just as it is. It's not why they are not just scattered. Because Krishna is holding them. Krishna's energy is holding them. So that is why Bhagavad Gita says what is that verse? It says, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamai Pashyati Tasyaham Na Pranashyame Pashyati. So understanding that Krishna has entered into matter everywhere and is all pervading, though we say it's Brahmagyana, but it's a very important knowledge to be Krishna conscious. Krishna spends almost 2 chapters, the 10th and the 11th chapter, just to explain this point. Keshu, keshu cha bhaveshu, Arjuna says, asks a question, Krishna. Where are, how can you perceive in matter? Tushnami chaushadi sarva somo bhutva rasatmakaha. So, Vaishnavas value matter. Prabhupada, even a small piece of paper also was valuing because he knew it's Krishna's energy. Isn't it? Anyhow, we're just going further.
Brahma Shabda, Brahma is the matter is the Brahma.
Okay. See, I just put it in a very simple term. As much as the super soul is a soul for the soul, Brahman is a soul for matter. Sarvam kalvidam Brahman. Soul for matter.
Brahman jo Brahma ke aage aake matra daa to wahi Brahman kya shabd kya hai
Brahman? Brahman. Brahman. Brahmana alag hai. Brahma alag hai. Brahman.
Brahman.
Brahman. Yeah. Da. Halant hai. नाच के पास हलंत. अभी बच्चों को मालूम नहीं हलंत क्या है. इफ यू टेल हलंत क्या है, दे डोंट नो. नाइदर इंग्लिश नॉर हिंदी नॉर एनी लैंग्वेज. गो फर्दर. नित्यो नित्यानाम. हाँ, नाउ द एक्सप्लेनेशन गोज हाउ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड इज डिफरेंट फ्रॉम द लिविंग एंटिटी. Because the Supreme Lord is one eternal among many eternals. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam yeko bahuram yo vidhati kaman. That one person is special because he never falls down, he's achyuta. Now again, the famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita, quoted in the Bhagavad Gita, samane vrikshe purusho nimagno nishyaya sochati muhyamatma chushtam yada pashyanti anyamesham asya mahimanam iti vitashoka. There are two birds, clearly it is mentioned, there are two birds. One bird is what? What is the one bird doing? Is eating the fruit, other bird is watching them. When this bird is going to look at me? So in the next sutra, the author declares the idea that the Supreme Personality of God and individual spirit soul are both one and different simultaneously. Now here, Achintya Bheda Vitattva is resolved. In one verse, what is explained? The previous to previous sutra, how they are one. And in this sutra, how they are different. And in this sutra, it is explained how they are one and the same, one and at the same time different. Achintya Bheda Vitattva. Tesham paratattvam kechidapare bhedam itare tubhyam. Kechid. Tesham paratattvam kechidapare. Some say the individual soul are supreme. Others say individual soul are different. Say. Tesham paratvam kechit. Kechit means some people say. Paratvam, they are supreme. Apare bhedam, some people say bhedam. There are some who are dvaitist, tra advaitist. Bhedam. Now, bhedam. Itare tu bhayam. Itare means others. What they say? Both. Some people say paratvam, soul is supreme. Some people say bhedam, both are different. And now, itare, some others, they say ubhayam, both. Nice. Samanvaya. Some of the individual souls are supreme. Others say individual souls are different from the supreme. Still others say individual souls are both one and one and different from supreme. Now, Badarayana, who is Badarayana, Prabhuji? Vyasa. Very good. Badarayana and his followers affirm that the individual souls are supreme. And Kashyapada and others, here Badarayana doesn't refer to Vyasa, that is why I ask this question. Kashyapada and other followers affirm that the individual souls are different from the supreme. Shandilya and his followers affirm because individual souls are part and parcel of the supreme, the souls are also different from the supreme lord. And because the souls are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, the souls are non-different from the Supreme. Different kinds of evidences may be produced to support all these different views. For example, in the Upanishads, I am Atma Brahma, and in the next Upanishad, Dva Suparna. So confusion is there. Now we know there are two souls. Someplace it is described, sometimes it is said, I am Atma Brahma. Both are same. Here someone may say the conflict claims of these different philosophers will certainly bewilder the living entity's mind. It is so confusing. So much of confusion. Somebody says this, somebody says this. Fearing that someone would say this, the author of the sutra proceeds to explain that there is no real conflict. Don't worry, no conflict, no jagada. Among the seemingly conflicting views, they are separate aspects of a single philosophy. They are the separate aspects of the single philosophy. He says, Sarvesham Samanjasyam Satvata Vijnanasya Brahmatva Bhavat Pramana Sadbhavacha Sarvesham Samanjasyam. Sarvesha means all. Samanjasya means correctness. No, all are true. Because the evidence of the scripture is always true, and because the seeming conflicts does not bewilder they who know the truth. So they who know the truth, they are not bewildered by seemingly contradictory things. Like in the previous as much as Krishna, within Krishna, there is a contradiction. And that contradiction is not an astonishment. Contradiction within Krishna makes him actually absolute. So last chapter, we understood. So Krishna expands the scripture. Isn't it? Krishna expands the scripture. If Krishna has expanded the scripture, so no, there is no chitra, there is no astonishment if you find contradiction in scripture. There is no astonishment, no problem. What is the problem? If contradiction is there in scripture, there is no problem, because scriptures are Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna talks about scriptures. He addresses scriptures as Brahman. Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanya danna sambhavaha. Then? Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanya danna sambhavaha. Yajnyad bhavati parjanyo yajnya karma samudbhavan. Karma brahmod bhavam vidhi. Brahmakshara samudbhavan. Karma brahmod bhavam vidhi. In that verse, the word Brahman refers to Veda. Word Brahman refers to Veda. Karma Brahmodbhavam Vidhi. Where the prescribed duty is mentioned? It is mentioned in the Vedic literatures. There in that particular verse, Krishna addresses Brahman as Veda. You have the Bhagavad Gita, you can see that. Annad Bhavanti Bhutani. That verse. Yes, 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 yes. Annad bhavanti bhutani. Annad bhavanti bhutani. So if Krishna, tasmin, What is the last thing? Nachitram. Nayasya. What is that sutra? Viruddha samanyam tasmin nachitram. So viruddha samanyam mutually contradictory qualities in Krishna are not an amazement. If that is the case, Krishna expands as scriptures. Even in scriptures, you have contradictory things. So there is nothing so to be angry. And we should know how to harmonize. Bringing harmony within scripture, that is what is philosophy. So yeah, all are true because evidence of scriptures is always true, and because a seeming conflict does not bewilder they who know the truth. You got it? Next verse. Karma Brahma Samudbhavan. Karma Brahmodbhavam Viddhi. You read the word to word meaning?
Karma, work, Brahma from the Vedas.
Brahma. What is the meaning for that? Vedas. So Vedas are called Shabda Brahman. Brahman. So we should not just, as soon as the word Brahman comes, I always, wherever I go, I just, many devotees, they mistake. Tene Brahma Hrudaya Adikave. You see, Brahma got the knowledge. There the word Brahma refers to Brahma. No, Prabhuji. Tene Brahma Hrudaya Adikave. Adikave refers to Brahma, Chaturmukha Brahma. The word Brahman refers to Vedic literatures. So that's the understanding. Going further, all the sages are correct because they who know the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and understand that these conflicting views are aspect of a single philosophy are not bewildered. These diffusing views are also correct because a previously quoted passage of the Shrutis, of Shruti Shastras, passages that are evidence for these different views must all be correct. That is the meaning. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, Mayam madiyam udgrahya vadatam kimnu durhatam. All such philosophers spoke under the shelter of my mystic potency, and thus they could not say anything without contradicting truth. In the Taittiriya Upanishad says, Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayanta visham vishanti. All created beings emanate from Supreme Absolute Truth, Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead. By His powers they remain alive, and then they go back to Him. Now in the Vedanta Sutras there is one sutra, Ekam Sat Viprabahudavadanti. One absolute truth, they are described by different scholars, Vipra, Bahudavadanti, this different ways. Now, that doesn't mean that anything what they say is okay. But it is Viprabahudavadanti. Many great scholars, they are speaking different way. But the point is, we need to do the harmony. That's the thing. Go next. After thus describing the true nature of the individual spirit soul, the author of the sutras proceed to describe the renunciation of all unwanted things. He also describes the means to attain the highest goal in life. He says, Vichara ragau chetana dramau swarupa pravrutti bhavat. Now, vichara ragau, thinking, raga means loving, chetana, conscious soul, dharanau, swarupa, pravrutti bhava. The conscious spirit soul possesses thinking and loving. For these two are part of their nature. These two things, One is what? Thinking and loving. Vichara ragav. Thinking and loving is the nature of the soul. Thinking creates knowledge. Therefore, knowledge is the part of the soul's nature. Loving creates bliss. Therefore, bliss is a part of soul's nature. These are part of soul's nature. You cannot. Prabhupada talks about dharma means loving is the nature of the soul. You just cannot live without loving someone. Many people ask this question, Prabhuji, vairagi kaise aayega? How will I develop detachment? The only way you love Krishna, you will automatically give up your love to others. There is no alternative to this. There is no alternative. You develop love for Krishna, automatically your love for other things will go away. Anything in this world, if you see separate from Krishna, it is Maya. So, it's a very simple answer Prabhupada gives. Next. The Shruti Shastras, it is said, Satyam Jnanam Anandam Brahma, eternity, knowledge and bliss are part of the soul's nature. In the next sutra, the author describes the root for which desirable and undesirable kind of love has grown. He says, Pare nuraktihi swabhaviki shreyaskari chaitaryeshu upadi ki dukkha pradacha. Love for the Supreme is natural. Pare nurakti swabhaviki. Generally, we have this Prabhupada as a story. Isn't it? Of somebody wants to love the Supreme. Then he loved his master. He became very pleased. Then he saw his master was serving the panchayat of the village. Then he told, "I served you. Can I serve this panchayat of the village? Sarpanch of the village." He told, "Okay, you serve him." And he was serving. One day, the collector came, district collector came, and the sarpanch was serving him. "Oh, somebody is higher than you." "Yeah, yeah, he's higher than me." "Then can I serve him?" "Okay, you serve, because you serve very nice. You go and serve him." Then Prabhupada is saying, one day the chief minister had come. Then he was served by the collector was serving him. He told, "Can I serve the chief minister?" In this way, he went to the prime minister and he went to the king. And he saw the king is the topmost. "Now I have become the servant of the king." He was taking great pride. And one day he saw a sadhu came and the king is bowing down. Then he thought, "Hey, this person is more greater than the king." The king asked, "Yeah, I am just controlling this kingdom, but he has controlled his senses." "Isn't it? He is greater. That's more difficult. I can control the entire kingdom, isn't it?" "No, he's controlled his senses. So now it will, can I serve him?" "Yeah, you serve him. You are a nice servant. You go serve him." Then you are serving, and this sadhu is going and paying obeisance to Krishna. "Hey, somebody is greater than you. Hey, he is the Supreme Lord." In this way, pare anuraktihi swabhaviki. Naturally, you want to serve the superior person. Now, pare anuraktihi swabhaviki and shreyaskari. Shreyaskari means what? It is the only thing which brings us bliss. Shreyaskari. Cha itareshu. If you do apply your loving tendency to anybody else other than Krishna, if you love anybody else other than Krishna, then what happens? Upadiki dukkha pradacha. In one line. Others means upadiki means material. Dukkha pradacha. That is the cause of suffering. As simple as that. Suffering is because we have repulsed our loving tendency to somebody other than Krishna, that is matter. Simple. Upadhika dukkha prajacha. It's because it's still sutras, it has to be just in one line. Love for the Supreme is natural, spiritual, and brings the highest bliss. Love for what is not supreme, that is to say, love for wealth, children, wife, and others, is artificial, natural, and brings within it the suffering of this world of repeated birth and death. That is the meaning here in the Shvetashtha Upanishad is said. Once in one of the classes, he's talking about how his wife, children, they're all just meant to give us suffering. There was one boy who just came, was attending the class. He stood in the class and said, "You see, Prabhuji, I have a girlfriend. Wife is suffering, no? Can I just have a girlfriend?" Bhaktivinoda Thakur could not, you know, think such questions would come. That boy was not serious. This happened in Mira Road. If it happened somewhere in Delhi or Baju temple, it's okay. It's a Mira, it's a small place, and some Gujaratis come there. Situations, what is the Shruti speaking? Tameva viditvat mrutyumeti nanyapantya vidyate ayanaya aniyasvat svisat svetasvarupanishad. It talks two times. It talks about this thing. Nanhe pantha vidyate yanaya ayanaya vidyate. No other pantha is there other than jayamanam chapashet. Glorify the Supreme Lord. And now, by understanding the Supreme, one crosses beyond death. Shvetashta Upanishad. Ajohi eko jushamano no. Sete. One unborn soul tries to enjoy the world. Other unborn soul renounces the world. The Supreme Personality God advised in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman pratyajya mamekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarvapibhyo mokshishyami master. This we know very well. But how? There is only one process of becoming happy, to repose our loving tendency in Krishna. Anything else is a cause of misery. Anything else other than Krishna is maya. Anything is which is not connected to Krishna is maya. If somebody asks you, what is the definition of maya? Directly speak the words from the Chitushloki Bhagavatam. Rithe tartham na pratiyet na pratiyet chatmanitam vidhyadatmano maya nuta bhasvaitadamaha. Very important words. How many of you know all the four verses of Chitushloki Bhagavad Gita? You know. Chitushloki Bhagavatam? Well, you should know. Everybody should know that. Four verses. There are only four verses. Krishna told these four verses to Brahma. So this is a very nice description of this verse. What is maya? It says that Rithyet artham yat pratyet na pratyet chatmani tam vidhyad atmano mayam. You know this as maya. What? Anything separate from Krishna. Whatever you see, if you see in this glass in connection with Krishna, this is spiritual. If you see a temple not in connection with Krishna, the temple is material. Even though it is a temple, if you see it as, okay, the source of my income or something like that, then it is material. So, seeing everything in connection with Krishna, that is spiritual. Seeing anything separate from Krishna, that is called maya. Simple definition. So, reposing all our loving tendencies in Krishna, that is spiritual. If you see, reposing our love, anything separate from Krishna, that is maya. Tam vidyad atmano mayam tata bhaso itatamaha. Very philosophical. Bhagavatam is, of course, explanation of Vedanta Sutra. What 10 verses in the Vedanta Sutra talks about this material world and how people are in ignorance, how ignorance is created. In one line, yathabhaso tata tamaha. Tamaha means darkness. In that there is abhas, light in darkness. I give the example of a theater. So now, what happens when you enter the theater? Everything is dark. I don't know when, how it's about more than so many years. I've been to a theater last time. I don't know how many of you remember entering into a theater. It's kind of auditoriums also sometimes you can end. The experience, when you enter, you're like, everything is dark. Don't know. And you see some lights are there, some seat numbers are there, you go and sit there. Some light, after you sit, then everything becomes dark. When everything becomes dark, you can see, you don't know where you are sitting, who is next to you, you're completely lost. And you don't know where your hands are, what legs are, completely. Then what happens? All of a sudden, abhas comes. Abhas means actually non-existence comes. Abhas means non-existence. Where it comes? On the screen. Once it comes on the screen, you start watching it. You had a popcorn packet in your hand, and you eat one. And gradually, as the picture goes on, some exciting things happen, then you identify with the movie so much, the heroine cries, you cry. Then, and somebody is running, you also do something like this. So that's what's happened. That's maya. Yatha bhaso tata tamaha. In tamaha, abhas means reflection or virtual thing. That is called material world. So perfect. You have to compare, want to compare material world, you just go to a movie. In movie, whatever goes on, you identify with that. So that's what's happening. The soul identify with whatever happens in the material world. He told me like that, he told me like that, she told me like this. No, people are talking bad about me. All these things have nothing to do with the soul. Isn't it? So, but we identify and take it so seriously. Oh, now I want justice. What justice? What justice? Justice, you should have fought for justice in the court, not in the jail. You already come to the jail. Isn't it? Somebody told me, oh, you want justice? You should have done it in the spiritual world, in the court. But now you are already in the jail. Now don't talk about justice. Think of getting out. So this trying to get justice, this is another maya. It just directly brings you from the platform of bhakti to niti. Bhakti to niti. Niti means you should have done that, you should have done that. You did bad to me, this should not have happened, you should have given me that, I did so much. What is this? It has nothing to do with this soul. So, from bhakti, you don't come down to niti. So, thabhaso, it's maya. And why fight for justice? Because you love some materialistic thing, that's why. Fighting for justice is not devotee's cup of tea. Fighting for justice is maya. It means one soul enjoys the world, other he renounces means he loves something else. That is why he gives up this thing. Why I give up the world? Why? Because I don't like any of these things. That is why I give up. And why I give up this thing? Because I got something higher. That is called renouncing. There's some who are loving Krishna, some who are loving the matter. That's a difference. Okay, next.
Why unborn soul? Why the adjective unborn?
Oh, the soul is always unborn. Ajopi sanna vyayatma. Not that verse. Na jayate brayate va kadachit. Na jayate. It is just the soul is unborn. So in this way it is explained. Ajohi. Because the word here used, aja, refers to the soul. So unborn soul. It's the language. Now, fearing that someone would ask this question. What is that question? Here someone may say, the soul is by nature spiritual and blissful. Then how does he come in touch with this unwanted material thing? The final question, if anybody can ask. Upadikritahi kleshaha. Upadikritahi kleshaha. Sufferings are caused by the soul's misidentification with the material body. No, if the soul is anandamaya, blissful, why is he suffering? The reason for his suffering is upadikrita. Upadi means identification, designation. Upadi means designation. In the Ayurvedic language, upadi means disease. According to Ayurveda, they don't use the word disease, roga. They say upadi. Upa Adi means etc. Extra things are there. Some extra things have come. Like you have water. Hey, dirty water. What does it mean? Some dirty, extra thing is there. If it is water, I could have drunk. Some dirt comes, then it becomes contaminated. It becomes rejected. In the same way, the soul, upadi means some extra things come, unwanted things come. Upadi means extra things or unwanted things. Then it becomes misidentifies. Then the soul starts saying, I am a doctor, I am an engineer, I am husband, I am wife, I am that, I am this, I am that, I am South Indian, North Indian, I am Punjabi, I am a French, I am American, all these designations, I am a monkey, I am a donkey, I am Brahma. All these designations are just because of this upadhi. And according to Ayurveda, upadhi means deceased. That is why bhavaroga, the word is used, bhavaroga. Upadhi kritahi kleshat. Now, sufferings are caused by the soul's misidentification of the body. In the Shruti Shastra it is said, kapuya charanaha kapuyam yonim apadyante. Identifying with matter, the soul takes birth in mother's womb. The Bhagavad Gita also it is mentioned, buddhi nashat pranashyati. In the Ishavasya Upanishad also it is said, Asurya namate loka andena tamasa vrita tamste prithyabhigacchanti eke chatmatho jana. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the world of faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. In the Rupa Goswami's Bhaktivedanta Sindhu also it is stated, kleshastu papam tad bhijam avidya cheti tad tritidha. Kleshastu papam tad bijam avidya cheti tat tridha. Sin, the root of sin, and in ignorance are three causes of suffering. Sin, the root of sin, means bija, papam, bijam, and avidya. There are three causes of suffering. Because of ignorance, we have material desires, bija. Because of material desires, we do sins. And because of sins, we suffer. Suffering is because of three things. The first thing is avidya, ignorance, and misidentification. Because of ignorance, I have material desires. Write it down in golden letters and tell openly in lectures to our congregation, everywhere, wherever you go. Nobody can satisfy material desires without doing sin. No material desire can be satisfied without doing sin. Impossible. Impossible. Whatever you may do, impossible. Sin is a natural thing which we have to do to satisfy desires. Yes. You cannot enjoy without sinning. In simple words, you cannot enjoy without sin. Yes.
But Prabhuji, like in Bhagavad Gita, it says like it comes from passion and ignorance.
Yes, yes. Contamination is that. Passion.
But in the mode of goodness, if somebody works, is it the sin?
Yes. Everything is sin. Enjoyment means sin. You cannot enjoy without sinning. Whether it may be goodness, passion or ignorance, whatever it may be. It is sin. It's Rupa Goswami saying, I'm not saying. Avidya leads to bijam, desires. Desires leads to sin. Yes.
Would you like the living entities were there and already they have done Dhabit Krishna? How come ignorance comes there?
This is a big question. I don't know whether I should discuss in Vrindavan or not. Okay. I'll answer this. But I'll tell the answer only once. If you understand, understand. Otherwise, no question. No further talk. The question is, the living entity in the spiritual world, why at all did it come here? Isn't it? That's what the question is. Why? For that, you need to write something here. Okay. You can write within your book. I'm going to say some points, like sutras. No. You write in your book. Some sutras. The Supreme Lord is the Lord. Sutra number one. The Supreme Lord is completely independent. Sutra number two. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Enjoyer. The living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So, the living entity has lording tendency. So, the living entity has lording tendency.
Lording
tendency in a minute quantity. Number two. Number three means, so this is the fourth one, the next one will be. The living entity has minute independence. The living entity has enjoying tendency. The living entity is constitutionally a servant. That should answer your question. Now, since the Lord is the Lord, living entity is also having lording tendency. The Lord is eternally having lording tendency. The living entity eternally also has a lording tendency. Since the Lord is eternally having enjoying tendency, the living entity is also eternally having enjoying tendency. But the living entity is servant. So, by properly using the independence, the minute independence the living entity has, properly using it, if he chooses to serve, he will be in the spiritual world. Even though he is in the spiritual world, since eternally he has the enjoying and lording tendency because he is the part and parcel of the Lord and enjoyer, even in the spiritual world the tendencies are there, but they are subdued by serving. When he sees Krishna enjoying independently, there may be a desire to lord and enjoy independently of Krishna. Then immediately Krishna creates a world for the living entity. Even in the spiritual world, there is enjoying tendency and lording tendency for the soul. But the constitutional position, we choose to be constitutional. For example, if a liberated soul in this world, can he not go to a movie and watch a movie and try to enjoy? He has the option, but he doesn't use the option because he is properly using the independence. Proper use of independence is to be done by the soul wherever he is, wherever you are. So, this is what I can tell. No more talk. Hare Krishna. Further. Okay. Next, go further. Where are we? Yeah. Thus, the suffering of the individual souls are caused by the soul's misidentification of the material body. When the bounds of the misidentification are cut, then the soul attains liberation. To reveal this truth, the author of the sutra speaks the following words. And the bonds of misidentifications are cut. Now how does it get liberated from this thing? Anartha nivrattir muktihi swapada parapakatvat because it restores the soul to the original nature. Renunciation of material materialism brings liberation. Artha nivritti. Misidentification with the body places the soul in a inauspicious condition, in condition that breeds worthlessness, worthless material desires. By renouncing those material desires, the soul becomes free from the cycle of repeated birth and death. This is so because by the renunciation, the soul attains its original nature, which is spiritual and full of bliss. That is the meaning here. This is described in the following words of Taittiriya Upanishad. Sata saumya tada sampanno bhavati anandam brahmano vidvanna bhibarti kutaschana. O saintly person, O person who knows spiritual bliss, never fears. In the Chandilya Bhakti Sutra, it is explained, tadaikyam nanata vaiktavyam upadhi yoga yoga hanat adityavat. The soul is both one and different from the Supreme Lord. When he is free from the material body, the soul is glorious like the sun. In the Vedanta Sutra, Vyasa says, tarka pratishtarat. Transcendental topics cannot be understood by logic, argument logic in spirit. Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami says, vidhyate hriday grantis chintante sarva samshayah chidhyante sarva samshayah kshiyante chasya karmani drishte vatmanishvare. Not is the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut into pieces. The claim of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees self as a master. Liberation is described in these words of Srimad Bhagavatam. Muktiritvanyatharupam surupena vivastiti. Mukti means giving up one's concept, one's anyatharupam, upadis, and accepting the constitutional position of being servant of Krishna. Now here someone may ask, if it is by the mercy of the Supreme Personality, the individual souls are given independence. Now here the word independence used. And if by exercising the independence the soul find only suffering, then why is it that the gift of independence considered mercy of the Lord? Why is it so? Gift of independence is the mercy of the Lord. Now very independence is the problem, isn't it? I just now told that point. It's here. Independence is the problem. Actually, independence is not the problem. Misuse of independence is the problem. Now, this doubt came because independence is the problem. So, why did he give independence? That's okay. Now, why he gave independence? That's jivanam itaranurakti hetur ishvara karunyam tata eva tesham svatantra siddhe. Because by the Lord's mercy they are independent. Now they think, our independence is the problem. Why at all, if Lord is compassionate, why did he give me this independence? Now he says, actually it is the compassion of the Lord that he gave independence. The individual soul can turn from the Lord and love others in his place. Because if the independence is not given, you cannot say love is there. There cannot be any love at gunpoint. You love me, otherwise I'll kill you. What is this love? No. You are free to choose me or someone. And it's up to you for you to choose. And giving up others, other options, and coming to me, that is actually called love. How can a boy say this girl loves me? Giving up other boys, she came to this boy. Then only it is called love. Otherwise, it is not called love at all. Isn't it? So, to give up something and accept something, to give up this thing and accept other thing, independence is required. The relation between the Supreme Lord and us is that of love. So, the love toward the Supreme Lord can be true and can be realized only when the Lord gives us independence. So that is why Jivanam itaranurakti hetur. Itaranurakti hetur. He gives an option. You can be attracted to anybody. The option he gives to the living entities eternally. This option is there for living entities eternally. Eternally it is there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words. Eternally this option itaranurakti hi. Jivanam itaranakti heturu karunyam tadevatesham svatantra siddhehe. Siddhe means the perfection. So everything now to make, because the world, Lord's mercy, independence given, to make them powerful and glorious. The Supreme Lord gives independence to Supreme Spirit souls. Using this independence, the soul may forget the Lord and become attached to objects of mental senses. This is the meaning. And that is the meaning. In the Upanishads it is said, Anena ji jivenatmanatma rupa vishaya nama rupa vyakaran vanina tad vijnata ya ima yad yushmakam antaram bhabhuva. Entering with the individual souls, I will create the name and forms. And then beautiful words from Nagapatnis, I suppose. What you have done here is actually mercy for us. The Nagapatnis tells the Supreme Lord. Since the punishment you give to the wicked certain leader drives away all the contaminations. Indeed, because this conditioned soul, our husband, is so sinful that he has assumed the body of a serpent, your anger towards him is obviously to be understood as your mercy. So in this way, the soul's position has been clearly described. So we are left with three chapters that you can study nicely tomorrow. Hare Krishna.